Hey everybody, it's been a while. It's Cultural Screening, episode 5. This is the show where we talk about TV shows that we like and love and enjoy. My name is Droopy and I'm joined with my co-host, Mark.
What's up, guys? It's been a while.
It's been too long, Mark. Stuff's happened. Stuff has changed. The whole month of December, the whole site just kind of went on hiatus. And kind of before that, stuff happened when we didn't get together for a recording, but we are back. And we're going to try and get back on a regular schedule. Let's try and record weekly, you know, give you guys the content that you deserve. If you follow the site, you may have noticed some things have changed. We are no longer the cultureofmypeople.com.
Oh, what the... dang it. I listened to another podcast where they encourage you... They ask a question. They encourage you to call in. Like, call into this podcast and answer our question. And, like, they'll talk about it and stuff. But they encourage you. Like, you're helping our show, we wouldn't have this show, and they like it a lot. Like, we wouldn't have this if you guys didn't call in. So they encourage you, and as like a kind of a trade-off, like, we can try to share listeners. If you're on a podcast or you have something you want to kind of pimp, you can promote yourself and your stuff when you call in. And I did, and I actually did this week when I called in. It was like my third time calling in, I think. I was like, go to theculturemypeople.com. It's not that. Dang it.
Well, here's the beauty. So, we've renamed the site. The site has been rebranded, renamed. This is the Cultural Screening Podcast for WhackMatters.com.
Whack Matters?
Where whack matters, but also we talk about whack matters. This site's been rebranded. You know, I think we're pretty much done, but the beauty of it is if any of you go to the old link of theculturemypeople.com, you just get redirected to Whack Matters. So, if any of you old people, if you have a bookmark on your web browser and you're like, hey, how do I change this? You don't have to. You'll still end up where you're supposed to. So, just a little info about the site out there. WhackMatters.com is where we are at.
We pretty much sold out. That's what happened.
Michael felt that we need a different name, and Whack Matters is what was decided upon. So that's where we sit, and it's where we currently reside. WhackMatters.com. So, moving along, before we start really getting into talking about some of these TV shows, there's something that we should note. Previous episodes of Cultural Screening, we have talked about four TV shows. Flash, Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Supergirl. We have decided to drop Supergirl from our following lineup. Mark is super behind and is kind of unable to catch up right now. And frankly, I don't know that it's really worth covering. It's not really super great. My one saving grace for the show and why I will continue to keep watching it, they brought in the Martian Manhunter. That is the one thing that saved that show for me and why I am probably still continuing to watch it. At least it's what hooked me. I will probably still watch it. It won't be a super high priority. Hopefully that show gets good again. You know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which this podcast is basically the size is like one of the best TV shows on TV right now. Its first season was kind of garbage, specifically the first half.
The first half, the first 17 episodes, I think 18, episode 18 is when that show gets good, and there's like, what, 23 maybe in a season?
Yeah, something like that. It was Captain America had to happen. Captain America the Winter Soldier had to happen in order for that show to get really good. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really good now. It's really good. So, hopefully Supergirl. Well, you know, I'll take a superhero show that's really good. You know, if other shows can get super great, then that's great. You know, let's let Supergirl do that. But right now, that is not. Ugh, excuse me, that is not the way it is. And so we're going to kind of cut that, save some time and move on with our lives. So, but if you are interested and you want, like, I'll probably still keep watching the show. If you want to know kind of my thoughts on it, you know, and you want us to cover it at least in maybe a smaller form, you hit right in and let us know. podcast@whackmatters.com. All right.
Real quick, I figured I should actually plug that podcast. I don't think I actually said what it was called. It's the Two-Headed Nerd Podcast. Find it on iTunes. That's where I listen to it. It's on the Beyond Pod, I believe. It's on there. Is that the app, though?
The Android app. It's the WhackMatters.com Android app of choice. It's a great podcast app. I really like it.
It's on there, so you should check it out. It's good content. So,
all right. Well, let's dive into it. The first order of business, we're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Probably our favorite show. There's a lot to talk about, but we're going to kind of summarize it up since, you know, it's been a while since we've seen it. Right now, they are talking about Agent Carter. That is the current TV show. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on a little bit of a break. And what are we talking about? But, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s midseason finale kind of ended in a big way. I will say this once before we dive in. There will be spoilers. We are going to spoil these shows that we talk about. If you haven't seen these shows and you want to and you don't want to be spoiled, you need to check out of this podcast. Go watch them right now and then come back. Check it out. So there will be spoilers. All right, Mark, say what you want to say. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season finale was so good that after I watched
mid-season finale.
Yeah,
it's not over yet.
Because who wants to watch TV with their friends and family? Well, what a horrible thing. Anyway, no, it was so good that after watching it, I put off watching the Arrow mid-season finale because I knew that it wouldn't be as good. So I watched it and then proceeded to not watch any of the other shows that we review on the podcast till I think last week was when I finally watched. I was like, ooh, they're about to start up again. We're going to start recording it. I should probably actually, you know, watch it so I can provide something to this conversation.
Yeah.
Man, was it good.
Some stuff went down in the episode. So kind of, you know, you had Coulson. So Rosalind, I believe we didn't talk about this. Rosalind is now dead. Grant Ward shot her. I think this was the first episode, the one that we didn't cover. And so Coulson kind of goes on this vendetta against Grant Ward. And he starts doing things that he shouldn't be doing, especially as director of S.H.I.E.L.D. He turns over the director of position to Mac, who basically says, you've got control of S.H.I.E.L.D. I got to go do some bad stuff. And so he takes Hunter with him, and they go do some bad stuff. Hunter and the Mockingbird, I can't remember her name, Bobby, and they go do some bad stuff. They track down Ward, and like Coulson is on a vendetta. He's going to take out Ward. It's basically like he's thrown off the gloves. Coulson is like, "All right, you want to play dirty? Fine, and I can play dirty too." And that's kind of. We follow that, and then eventually there's lots of other stories on, you know, Grant is working with Hydra, and specifically they're trying to get this creature off of this planet. Eventually they all make it onto this planet.
All of them, Hydra and
some Fitz Hydra members. So of the Coulson. Main characters that we care about, you've got Coulson, Fitz goes in with the Hydra hit squad, led by Grant Ward.
Simmons doesn't have to. Takes one.
Yes. You know, he's continuing to look out for the woman he loves. Fitz is a man that we should all strive to be.
So cool.
And, you know, if they find, I can't remember his name. The Will. Dude that Simmons, yeah, Will. They find Will on the planet, and Fitz is like, I'm going to save you. Once again, Fitz being a bro. Like, he's like, the woman I love loves you, but I'm going to save you. And it's like, he's like putting it all aside. And, you know, what a bro.
Fitz is the reason that more girls should like nerds. I think what girls are like, oh, you're super weird and put off. Like, nerds are nerds because they're so dedicated and loyal to the things that they like that they'll do, like, anything for, and they're so passionate about it. Like, if anything, people should see this show and be like, Fitz is a big nerd, and, like, he's so dedicated to, like, Simmons and making her happy that he's willing to get another guy for her because he knows that he doesn't make her happy. Like,
it's a love story to be told, but unfortunately it doesn't work out super well as we find out that Will I guess it depends on your perspective, but Will turns out to be possessed by this devil creature. Will is gone. Will is dead, and we get devil creature inside Will, and Fitz figures this out kind of too late, where the devil creature is trying to make his way off the planet. Fitz caps him off. Coulson doesn't
phase him. Coulson beats the crap out of Ward.
Crushes him with his robot hand. Caves in his chest. He's dead. And so Coulson. You got two dead bodies, Grant Ward, Will, and then Fitz and Coulson make it off the planet. And the giant cliffhanger that we get for this show is, Gemma finds out that Will didn't make it off the planet, so she's sad, but the big thing was we find out that Grant Ward made it off the planet, but it doesn't appear that he is Grant Ward anymore. It appears that the beast has made it off of the alien planet and is now controlling Grant Ward's body. I believe that Grant Ward is actually dead. So, it ended in a really big way. And then we mid-season finale, and we're not really going to figure out later until I think March.
I think that it worked very well, and I think one of the coolest things, and I think it's something that'd be very smart for them to do, was have this alien, inhuman thing, whatever, have a completely different personality than Ward. Like, have Ward be dead. And I think the whole Ward arc, if they leave it how it is and they don't try to, like, make him be fighting with the demon inside him or whatever, and they leave him dead, and he died, and the thing just possessed his dead body and brought him back. Like, that would be a great arc, and then have the alien have a whole new personality and is very different than Ward, and it's just the same actors, the same person playing him.
That would be great. I agree with that. One of the podcasts I listen to that talks about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been talking about how, you know, Grant Ward has kind of worn himself out. He's kind of done as a character. We've kind of seen all that Grant Ward has to offer. If they can keep the actor on the show, keep him, have him act as a different personality, like you were saying, that could be interesting. If that actor has the range, to be able to pull that off, that would be good. We're not going to figure out what's going to kind of happen with that until March, but, you know what? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a good show. People should check it out. Seasons 1 and 2 are on Netflix. If you want to start with Season 2, I do not blame you. It's still really good.
The first mention of Hydra in Season 1. Watch the first episode so you can realize how crappy it was. Then watch the first episode when you read the captions as the first mention of Hydra. And go from there. And there might be a few things that you're like, you'll figure it out. And it works way better.
So, check that out.
I've started watching that with my girlfriend's parents. They're from Season 2, pretty much. And they haven't seemed to be confused and are following the story fine.
Gotcha. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Arrow. We've got about 3 episodes of Arrow to cover. But once again, we'll just kind of go over these briefly. Before we talk about this, let's actually talk about Flash, just so we can talk about the crossover episodes correctly. What do you say?
Chronological order, yeah.
So we'll switch over to Flash. All right, Flash. Last episode we covered was Guerrilla Warfare. You know, the Guerrilla Grodd was the big bad. Moving forward, we get into the crossover episode where we get Vandal Savage, and this is kind of the two-parter episode where they tell half of an episode as a full episode on Flash, and then they tell the rest of the story as an Arrow episode, and that's what they did. And I don't remember. I thought it was all right. You know, I thought it was good. With you know them playing off of each other, it's cool that these superheroes can interact with each other on these different levels.
I think it is something that the movies don't always benefit from. Like in comic books, the joke is in comic books, anytime a book is not selling well, like for Marvel, those put Spider-Man, put Wolverine in it, and they try to pick up sales. But just having the freedom to cross over and just throw other characters from different books in the book you're reading is something that I think is very cool, and because of how much money, like, big movie actors, especially, like, the Marvel movies, like, it's something that can't really be in the movies as much. You can't just have, like, cameos or, like, a little bit with a new character or with a character from a different story, and I think the TV show can really benefit from that in a way that
it's
the movies
kind of, it's kind of what we get with these Avengers movies. That have been coming out is you got all these actors in all of their individual movies, and they're all telling these characters all have their own stories going on, and then you go with all right, let's throw them all into a movie. They're all on the same team, and we're going to get a little bit of that with Captain America 3, where you're going to have like the current Avengers, which led by Captain America, and then you've got like Scarlet Witch, and then all the stuff, and then you get Black Panther, and then you get Iron Man thrown in there with Hawkeye, and you've got War Machine in there. So you've got. You kind of get that feeling in that. This episode has introduced... We get good looks at Hawkgirl and Hawkman. And kind of a more intro to Legends of Tomorrow, especially with Vandal Savage as the big bad. Vandal Savage is a DC villain who's basically was a caveman in the... All right, so I'm only familiar with his origin story from the Justice League cartoon series. I do not know if this is accurate to the comic books, but he was basically a caveman that was infected by a meteorite that struck Earth, and now he just lives forever. He doesn't get older. They did a decent job with this episode. The Vandal Savage guy looks like Vandal Savage. So they did a decent casting job with that.
My only critique or problem is he seems... too like lean, like in all of the representations I've ever seen of Vandal Savage, he seems like he was a caveman, so he's just a huge giant, like of a man, like tall, broad shoulders, like more and like more. When I think of like how he would fight, he fights more like he's stronger and less like I don't know. But, I mean, with the origin they're going with, it was he wasn't a caveman at all. So, I mean, it works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they played it a little bit differently with, like, this kind of playing him into the Hawk Girl and Hawkman origin story with the Egyptians and the reincarnation and stuff like that. So, I think there'll be a lot more of that discussed in Legends of Tomorrow. So, moving forward, the next episode was Running to Stand Still. It was an episode about, you know, you had kind of Weather Wizard in there. You had not the Riddler.
Trickster.
The Trickster. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, the Trickster in there. And then you had Captain Cold. And they were kind of, and Weather Wizard's like, hey, let's kill the Flash. And so we got some Mark Hamill in this episode. Probably one of the best things about the episode. Perhaps, depending on your opinion and stuff. But, yeah, this was just kind of the mid-season finale. One of the big things about this episode is this one we get the Wally West character introduced to the show. Basically, the episode ends with Wally West introducing himself to the family.
Major tool bag.
You know, he's got some character development before he become the Kid Flash and ultimately the Flash. He's got some stuff to work on. If they take that character in that same direction, we will see. I do think they should have some creative licensing to do with, to do what they want with that character.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about this episode of The Flash. Let me say this about this week's episode of Flash Potential Energy. This episode actively made me angry. I was actively angry at this show. For those of you who have been following the show Cultural Screening might have recognized that I like Patty Spivot. As a character, as an actor, I think she's done really well. She's pretty. Like, it's great. In this episode, Patty legitimately is like, Barry, you're kind of being a jerk. Like, I've been a cool girlfriend. I've been really awesome to you, but you're like guarded. You're guarded, and then like you ditch me in the middle of this like attack on my life. And Barry, all the meanwhile through this episode is like dealing with, you know, do I tell her I'm a Flash? Do I not tell her I'm the Flash? Like, what do I gotta do? And so like she confronts him about this. Okay, like she's like, I've been cool. You're not being cool. You need to figure this out. And so Barry's like, so Barry doesn't tell her he's the Flash there, which would have solved the problem right then and there, but didn't. Comes up later in the episode. He's like, all right, I'm gonna tell you I'm the Flash. And then she's like, I'm going to leave Central City. I'm going to stop being a cop and go back to school so I can be a CSI. And once again, still doesn't tell her that he's the Flash. And then, like, the episode ends, like, on that note. This whole one of my favorite characters in The Flash, this whole problem, this whole stupid drama point could have been avoided if he had just taken her aside just real quick and say, hey, no, this is very important. I got to tell you this. The reason I left you is because I'm The Flash. The reason that I've been so guarded is because I'm keeping the secret from you because I'm The Flash. Like, this whole problem could have been resolved so quickly, and I feel like they just had to, like, oh, this is drama for our show, so let's put this in there. And it didn't need to be this way, and it's just really, really, really dumb.
I think that it also very well could be, we know that they do not have everything thoroughly written, and they kind of wait to see and test the waters, and are willing to change things after the mid-season finale. And it wouldn't surprise me that if they wanted to test the Patty Spivot ground with her as a love interest, and then more people than not wanted him to end up or wanted him to date Iris, or the Iris story, him and Iris romantic interest to get pushed along, and they kind of were like, well, kind of give them what they want and we'll push her out of the show. Like, it wouldn't, I don't know if that's for sure, and she might be on the next episode and there might be reasons she stays. He might tell her she's the Flash, or he might tell her he is the Flash. But it wouldn't surprise me if more people wanted Iris, so they're kind of just like, well, give them what they want, and just wrote her out of the show.
But see, how many people of you know that follow the TV show The Flash hate the Patty Spivot, Barry Allen romance? Because I follow a podcast about the show, and they love it, both of them. And I don't think I've heard, even in the writers to that show, that people, like, no, people love that relationship. Also, they, according to this, I mean, they tried this last podcast, last up season, they tried the Barry Iris stuff, and the stuff that I've heard, at least on this podcast, is that their Iris Barry relationship is so much better when it doesn't have romance relationship. Like, they found a romance option for Barry that is not so, it's not necessarily as awkward, it's not as stupid as last season. It was better and legitimately good, and their fans liked it. I feel that the only reason they are taking Patty off of this is just because, like, hey, we need to create some drama because we're CW and that's what we do.
I mean, that's the thing, though. They're, as much as we like to think, because it is a Flash TV show, and a lot of episodes, especially the first season, a lot of episodes just felt like a comic book. Especially the first episode with the trickster, with the packages and stuff. As much as we like to think that this is a show for nerds, it's a show on the CW that's gonna be a show on the CW. To where I'm willing to bet even all the people in our circles who we talk to, who all of our nerd friends, love Patty because it makes so much more sense. But I'm willing to bet there's enough people out there, because it's CW and want drama and want it to be like that, they liked the Iris relationship better because there was so much drama and pointless crap to it.
And I can kind of see that point, but what I'm saying is that's dumb. Like,
That is dumb. No, I think I actually had an argument with my girlfriend. Oh, not an argument, but we disagree. She wants Barry to end up with Iris, and I would be like, I'm perfectly fine if he ends up with Patty. Patty's a lot cooler than Iris and has a lot more of a character than a plot device than Iris. Yes.
It's, yeah, so that actively made me angry. Outside of that, this episode was okay. Listening to a Flash podcast actually tonight and just thinking about it, I'm not really feeling season two of The Flash. It's not hitting the points that it did, that Flash did in season one. You know, Flash season one, despite all of the Barry Iris drama, it still had cool stuff in it. And this show maybe it's just the writing, but it's not coming together in the way that it did last season, and that really sucks.
I think that it'll watch better in a chain watch. Like, I don't think that it is as good as the first season so far. It could get better, but I think not having the time between episodes to kind of pick it apart and watch it quicker, it'll not feel as much of a letdown as it seems to be right now.
But season one, I didn't watch all at once. I watched it piecemeal, day week by week, and it was not this bad. Like,
it's not as good, but I think it'll feel better when season two hits Netflix, and we probably will both rewatch it. And it might not be as good as season one, but it'll definitely feel better than it does now. It's like when you go to the movie, like you with Avengers 2. The first time you saw Avengers 2, you were like, no, because I liked it better than the first one, but I know that I'm in the minority of everybody I know who likes that movie. Like, it was not the first one. But the second time you saw Avengers 2, you liked it. From what I understand, I haven't talked to you about it a lot, but you liked Avengers 2 much better the second time you saw it, after you kind of were able to test the waters and know more what you were getting into.
We'll see. It was like, I don't know. This show could definitely use better writing, but that's, you know, we'll probably get to it when we talk about Arrow. But it's a CW show. I should have my expectations set for what I'm going to get out of a CW show. I just wish that it could be better than it actually is. Outside of the relationship stuff, we got a villain called the Turtle. We got some more character stuff going on. Turns out Jake Garrick is dying. We'll kind of see what's going on moving forward. This next episode could be really sweet. We're going to get a reverse Flash episode. So this could be cool. We'll see what happens next week. All right. We've talked about that. Let's move on to Arrow. So the first episode of Arrow that we'll talk about, which is called Legends of Yesterday, is the finale, and it's basically Barry traveling through time and then helping Oliver with situations in that situation, and when they end up taking down Vandal Savage. So that's what happened with that. I remember that time travel stuff was cool, and I thought it was well done in that episode. That's the episode where we learn about a lot more about Oliver's kid, and then Oliver decides to have a relationship with his kid and try to hang out with him and get to know him. But then he eventually decides not to tell Felicity about it. So we've got that in the mix now as well.
Because secrets have always worked out so well.
Yep. Yep. And no one ever overreacts about anything about secrets ever.
No. Everybody in the show is so level-headed to where ever being a secret from any... Like, I think that show has proven just how dumb people think the human race is.
Yeah, you know,
nobody's ever able to make like an objective, logical decision. Every decision on that show has to be based on the current emotion.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I had a If I was a giant alien warlord and I was looking at Earth, I'd be like, yeah, I'll easy conquers. There should be some easy pickings. The following episode was about Darkwater. It was called Dark Waters. And one thing that kind of stood out for me about this episode is how much I liked Laurel. I remember liking Laurel in this episode. Laurel's been a pretty terrible character, and I think she's been poorly acted. And in fact, she's the one character that I wanted people to kill off. Maybe she's in the grave.
I hope.
I just had that thought. We'll see. But
I'm hoping for her or Thea.
Yeah, we'll see. I could probably do Thea as well. But I really like Laurel. They didn't use her necessarily as the canary. She was more like the sound, the voice of reason. And while it might be inconsistent with her character, I don't think she was acting stupidly to the point where it's like, I hate you. So like, I thought her character was actually decent in that episode. But the episode ends with Felicity getting shot. And after Oliver proposes to her and they are now engaged, and then roll credits. Wait. How long it is for the next episode.
Then the whole, like, the underground cornfield?
Yes, so...
What the crap?
We also... Yeah, we learn about, kind of more about Damian Dark's plans for Starling City and kind of the world. And he talks about... he talks about Project Genesis and a resetting. And we learn more about that project a little bit in the following episode, the most recent one called Blood Debts. So just going into what I'm kind of thinking and what I've gathered, and, you know, listen to podcasts as Arrow Squad is the Arrow podcast to listen to. I'm kind of thinking that they're going to destroy the world, whether through like a virus or a bomb or something. And then like, this is like an underground vault where they can survive. So like, okay guys, we're going to blow you all up, let the Earth reset. And then, we're going to go live down in this underground bunker for however long it takes for the Earth to wipe, for all humanity to wipe out. And then we're going to start over. That's kind of like the what?
It's a vault. Essentially something.
Yeah. Yeah. Fallout. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, and we learned a little more about that kind of plan in the most recent episode. In the most recent episode, we learned that Felicity is paralyzed, and then she takes upon the name Oracle.
I liked this episode a lot.
I liked it, but I... As an Arrow episode, I thought it was good. I thought it was fine. But it wasn't, wasn't anything super special, or didn't strike me awesomely. What about it did you like so much?
I don't know. I just remember I enjoyed this episode a lot. For some reason. I think the fact that they kind of calmed Oliver down, for one, I thought was cool. Like, Oliver was very much the Oliver that we'd seen in episodes past, and as he goes and talks to Felicity, she's like, yes, Damien's a bad guy, and yeah, we need to stop him, but like, calm down, you don't have to, like, freak out about everything, like, don't go off the rails, and like, immediately, she even makes a joke, she's like, and then you immediately went off the rails or something, like,
yeah, she asked, like, please tell me you didn't go off the rails, like, or something like that. Like, she doesn't want him to go that.
And it put him in perspective in the rest of the episode. Like, after that, he was well.
He checked himself.
Yeah, like, she was like, hey, like, don't be an idiot. And he was like, you're right, I shouldn't be an idiot. And, like, I thought...
Now I won't be an idiot.
Yeah, I thought that like, dynamic worked really well. I thought that Anarchy, is that what they're going to call that guy? Or
yeah.
Whatever?
Yeah.
I thought he was a wonderfully bizarre, weird, creepy guy.
That mask wasn't super effective on me, but I could definitely... It was definitely had some creep factor going.
Like, I thought he was just wonderfully bizarre and creepy as a villain that I hope... comes, like, I hope he doesn't die and he becomes a more repeat villain. on the show. I liked him a lot.
Anarchy is a character from the comic books. He's in the, actually in the Batman game, Batman Origins. Excuse me. So, but yeah, he was in there. Thea decides that she's going to start dating Oliver's campaign manager. But probably one of the biggest things about, so we also got the Diggle, Andy relationship that continues to, seems like it's progressing. Maybe we will see an Andy Diggle, kind of make a turn around and decide to come back to the good side. We will see what happens with that.
But he dies. I bet he's gonna turn good and sack himself for the team. That way they can get the effect of a death without actually having to kill a main character.
No, they need to kill a main character. They actually
need to kill I don't think he's going to be the person in the grave. I think the person in the grave will be a main character. I don't know who, but I think and hope that it is a main character. But I think at some point in this season, Andy will die. As kind of a plot device.
What if in the grave is Diggle and Andy takes Diggle's place on the show?
That would make me frustrated because Diggle's the only he's had a few episodes where Diggle has been kind of annoying, but consistently over all four seasons, fourth season, right?
Basically, yeah.
Over all four seasons, Diggle's been the most consistent, level-headed person who makes decisions off of logic and thinking about things, and the least just nonsense emotion person of all.
So let's talk about this grave. At the very end of the episode, you know, so a lot of theories were like, oh, it's Felicity in the grave. And then so we see Oliver get into a limo. This is at the grave scene. He leaves the grave, goes over, gets into his limo, and we see Felicity inside. And she's not happy, he's not happy, and she's basically like, you know, you're gonna have to kill him, right? Like, you have to kill him. And then that's kind of, and he's like, maybe, I think he says, like, maybe, yeah, I know, or something, I don't remember. Or maybe he doesn't say anything, and then, like, that's it. So we now know it's not Felicity, but we know that whoever the death is obviously affecting Felicity, too. So as someone who's kind of close or personal to her as well. So my theory was that this is Quentin Lance, the detective. And my thought with that is they're kind of playing up to, like, he's in a dangerous spot now. Because, you know, he's revealed the lair to Oliver so that he can find Damian Dark. He's done these things to try and help Oliver. And he's talking about, you know, oh, don't worry about me, Laurel. You know, I'm just worried about you. I'll never stop worrying about my daughter. Like, it just seems like they might be playing that up a little bit. I spoke with someone who I work with, and she was saying her thought was it's Roy. They are going to bring Roy Harper back in the show. That's something that the actors kind of talked about or tweeted about. What if they brought him back and then he died almost immediately after? He is getting ready to start a show with, can't think of his name. He's the dude who plays the city manager on Parks and Rec.
Ron Swanson?
No, he's the literally guy. He's like, that is
literally
the best thing I've ever eaten. Like, that guy. I cannot think of the actor's name right now.
I don't know.
Colton Haynes is going to start a TV show with that guy. So they could, if Colton Haynes come back, I don't know if it's going to be in a permanent capacity on Arrow. From the trailer that I've seen of Arrow and the rest of the season, it does look like he's going to pick up the Red Arrow and become Arsenal again, at least for one episode. So I don't know. We'll see. What do you have any thoughts about who do you think in the grave?
I want it to be Thea or Laurel.
I could be okay with it being Thea. I just want whoever they leave to make them a good character. Like, if they could make the Black Canary a decent character, that'd be great. That would be super good. And have her not be a stupid idiot. But there's been these episodes where she's just been, it's been so terrible. And it's just like, ugh.
In a way, I would almost rather it be Thea because of, I think she hasn't always been the best character, but has consistently been better than Laurel. And I think because of that, her death would have more meaning to me. And I would be more upset and sad about it. It would pull on my heartstrings more than just having some person who's annoyed me every single season.
Do you think the CW has the guts to kill off a major character like that? Are we going to get some? Is this going to be a giant tease that's going to ultimately not pay off, and we're just going to be mad at them forever?
Maybe. I mean, I hope so.
I hope that they have the guts to kill somebody. But it's got to be. I want them. See, there's talk about like, oh, we don't even know who's going to be in the grave yet, or like, oh, we have a pretty good idea of who's going to be in the grave. I want them to write a story and then to tell that story. I want them to write a story that is good and then for them to tell it, not to write it as they go depending on fan reactions.
I would even settle for an okay story that is just the story that they wanted to tell. Like, not something that they would just always, that they would be willing to change at any moment.
Yeah.
If they're like, oh, you didn't like it? Okay, like, change it. Like, scrap the whole rest of the season. They hated the first half, so let's change the second half. Like, I would rather a not as good story, but a consistent, this is what they wanted to tell, and them to be like, well, you might not have liked it, but this is the story that we wanted to tell, and we told it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we'll see going on. This next episode is titled, we'll see what happens with that, but, yeah. All right. Marvel's Agent Carter. Did you get a chance to watch Agent Carter?
Yes. I was dozing the first time I tried to watch the first episode, but I got them both. You I watched them.
Got both episodes in? All right, great. I really liked it. I thought it was really good. They introduced some stuff. The characters were good. You know, obviously Peggy Carter is like this strong, you know, female type, you know, power to the women and stuff. And while I recognize that, I didn't find it super annoying, and it didn't really hinder my enjoyment of the show. Go ahead.
It was very much more, and the thing that bugged me, I haven't seen the first season of the show. I haven't finished even an episode of the first season of the show because I couldn't hack it. And it was because the episodes I watched, it seemed like they were always just trying to shove down our throat the fact that, like, oh, this is, like, the 60s or whatever, and, like, she's a girl and everybody's sexist, but then, like, oh, she's actually better than everybody in the show. But, like, the fact of just how overly sexist all of the males were and how just dumb all the males in the show were to make her look better just drove me nuts. And this season it was still very women empowerment. She's still a very strong character, but it didn't make every single guy in the show just look like the biggest idiot. And it wasn't so annoying as, like, in the first episode of the first season, the guy that she ends up kind of having a romantic interest. I didn't watch. What's his name? The guy she goes to meet. Sousa. Like, he tries to, like, open the door or, like, do something like that to help her, and she, like, flips out on him, like, no, like, I can do everything that you can do. Why are you trying to help me? He's like, I'm trying to be a nice person. My bad. I didn't think that, like, me trying to be nice was making you the worst person. Like, was making me make... I was stupid. Like, it drove me nuts. But this season, like, I think very much had a women empowerment kind of vibe with, like, her being such a strong female character, but did it in a way to where not every male was an idiot, and it wasn't, like, throwing it down your throat in such a way. Like, if you're going to have something that's very women empowerment, this is how it should be. They should have a strong female character because, like, she's just a strong female character, well written, and that's that.
They did something better than Star Wars, where they had a good, decent female character, but didn't make the supporting male actor a complete dingus.
Yeah, which is what they did the first season, which is couldn't hack it.
I liked it a lot. I like the story that they're seeming that they're going to tell. From what I've heard about it, they're going to try and set up some stuff for Doctor Strange through this TV show. I don't remember the specifics. I think it might have to do with that dark energy. Or it could be something else that we're going to get later. So we'll see what happens with that. But I do like Agent Carter, and I'm ready to keep going. It was kind of funny because I watched it. It was like, all right, I finished the first episode. All right, well, you know, I'll come back next week. And I was watching this live, and it's like, stay tuned for the next hour of the 2-hour premiere of Agent Carter. I was like, oh, sweet. Like, I hit more like right there. It was a nice surprise, and I enjoyed it. Those shows, those ABC Marvel shows, like Agent Carter, they're just so much better written than the CW shows that we've been watching. And while I do like some of the stuff that's in Arrow and Flash and stuff, I just wish that they could be produced or handled better or written like these other shows could. It's great that these shows can, but it's also kind of sad.
I think one thing that almost made me upset watching Agent Carter, which they did kind of do, was at first. The one guy, he's an African-American guy, and the scientist, I forgot his name too, but
yeah, I don't remember.
Like, they, like, he, I, first of all, I like that character a lot. I thought he was super cool, and I was very sad when he died, but
it's like the two minorities, like, recognizing each other's, well, not maybe not recognizing each other's, but, like, they're the ones that decided to fall in love. Where he's like a black man in the 50s, which was a racist time for our country.
Yeah, but like, the thing is they didn't reference any racism till like halfway through the second episode, and I was like, after all of the sexist crap that you made me sit through, saying, "Well, it's the 60s, like they all have to be sexist and everything," like it's like if you don't make like one notion to him being like a well-respected black scientist, I was like, that is bull. If you don't say anything about it, that is bull crap. And then like he talked about it, I was like, okay, that's fair. It's like that, but like that was crap. Like if they didn't do that.
But I did not mind the episode itself, and I want to see where it goes. It's these Agent Carter stuff. I'm kind of glad. I like the character of Jarvis. He's super cool. We got to meet his wife a little bit in this episode. She seems like a really nice lady. This is a whole, I like this show. We'll see where it goes forward. All right. Yeah. One thing, and I don't know how much we'll talk about it. Did you get a chance to watch Legends of Tomorrow, the actual TV show?
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about it. DC Legends of Tomorrow. This is the show that kind of Arrow and Flash have been building up towards. That's kind of how they've been presenting it, talking about it as a problem on the Arrow and Flash podcast I've been listening to. Because they have been devoting so much time in Arrow and Flash to, like, here's Hawkgirl, here's the Atom, and here's this character, and stuff like that. When really all it's been for is just so they can just build this TV show. This first episode, because I watched it when I was, like, tired and it was late, and I need to rewatch it, but it felt kind of lacking to me. Like, there wasn't anything super special there. What was your feelings about it?
I think in a lot of ways, as a setup episode, it worked kind of well. But I think in a lot of ways, like, where it kind of did fall flat, a lot of ways it also felt, it felt very cool. Like, the character interactions, especially between Sarah and, like, Snart and Rory, right? Mickey Rory? Whatever. Heatwave. Like, the Heatwave, character interaction, like, character interactions, like, with them. And so the way that all of the characters interacted, most of the time, there were a few kind of stuff, but, like, for the most part, I thought was very fun and cool to see on screen. It was very neat, like, to kind of see just how some of them react with each other. I think the relationship between Jax and Professor Stein?
Martin Stein. Yeah,
like, I think their relationship is a lot of fun to see on screen. Like, just specifically them two together. Like, I don't know. It worked well for me. The parts that I thought were lacking were very much the story. Kind of, like, the whole his, like, wife and son being murdered because he actually resigned from the timekeepers because they wouldn't let him go change the past, and, like, so, like, and the fact that he was lying to all of them, and we all have to make our own destiny. Like, I thought, like, I don't care. Like, you could do without it. And it kind of did. Like, it did fall flat and stuff, and it was very cheesy and corny, but I think that the show could go very well in a lot of places, and I think the CG for that spaceship, or the time traveling ship, looked nice. It looked good.
I will say that I think you can do corny and cheesy without having it fall flat. I just, for some reason, I just don't feel that there was as much there to hold me. It was maybe as action-packed, or there was too much talking and dialogue for a catcher episode. My opinion, they probably should have done a two-hour premiere like Marvel Agent Carter did and shown the rest of it and get the story moving and stuff. But for money reasons, probably, they couldn't, and so that's what it is. I need to watch the episode again.
I want to give a shout-out to Kronos. Is that the bad guy's name?
Yeah, the bounty hunter, I think. Yeah.
Dang, did that guy look cool? He just
very looked menacing.
Cool. Like, the coolest Halloween costume of all time, which is just essentially all comic book costumes and stuff are. Like, just Halloween costumes. Like, he looked so cool. Like, when I saw him, I was just like, I'd wear that. Like, it looked cool. And
this bounty hunter who just travels through space, tracking time rifts and following you, like, through different time periods in history in the future. Like, that's kind of cool.
Like he was cool. And I think Rip Hunter's gun, which is just, like, a very, like, glowy, kind of different-looking, like, revolver, I thought that was cool. Like, it was a fun prop to see. I think there are parts that were cool. I'm wondering how long it's going to take them to make a Doctor Who reference. a companion on Doctor Who for like 2.5 seasons, I think.
Oh, was he?
No, season and a half, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Have you seen any of the Matt Smith ones?
I've started in the Matt Smith ones, but I'm not very far
at all. Eventually, the chick that he's going around with, Amy...
Mm-hmm.
Or Amelia or whatever, she gets married to him, to Rory, and then Rory and Amy go on adventures with Matt.
The Doctor. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Was Rory in the first episode then of Doctor Who? Where you Matt meet? Smith? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's in a little bit, yeah.
Okay, then I've seen him, I just don't remember him, but okay. Mm-hmm. Did you notice the Gideon is the AI for the ship? The AI created by Barry Allen, used by Reverse Flash. Apparently, Barry believes in freeware and just created this AI that should just be used by everybody. So,
I mean, it's lasted how long and used by the people who were able to crack time travel and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Time travel, Reverse Flash, like... Man, it's the best AI ever. All right. Yeah, anything else you want to mention about Legends of Tomorrow before we wrap up?
Nah. I mean, it was all right. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst. But
yeah. Well, hopefully it gets better as we're moving forward. But I think right now I'm more interested in Agent Carter. And hopefully when they can fix Flash, I might have to wait till next season for them to fix it. Or I'll just rewatch the first season. All right, we'll wrap it up. It's late here, but let's wrap it up. Mark, how can people find you on the internet?
People can find me at Twitter at Marky Freak Bro, and my Instagram name is Afro Thunda, and those I don't really use either of those, but I use Instagram more than Twitter. So,
all right,
doing some stuff.
Yeah. If you want to tweet me, it's or if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Drewby at Drewby132. It's facebook.com/Drewby132. We have changed the website. You know, we're whackmatters.com now. If you would like to email the podcast, it's it's podcast at whackmatters.com. If you would like to follow the Twitter, it's at whackmatters on Twitter, and you can follow us there. And I think that's going to be about it. If, you know, and if you want us to cover Supergirl, or you know, want to share your thoughts about some of these other podcasts. Today was kind of very summary. It's been a while since we've seen some of these episodes, but next week hopefully we'll come back and we should be able to start covering a little, probably perhaps in more detail. Do you want us to cover more detail? Do you just want to kind of have us summarize some of our favorite parts about it and leave it at that? You know, write in and let us know. podcast@whackmatters.com.
Or do you want us to review the probably best superhero TV show that me and Drewby both watched during the hiatus, Young Justice, instead of some of these crappy CW shows?
Oh, yeah, Young Justice. I did watch Young Justice Season 2 over the hiatus within the last month, and the show is really good.
Hands
really,
down.
Really, really, really good.
Better than Flash and Arrow by far.
Yeah, better. Yeah, it's really, really good. You know, DC makes really good cartoon products. Like, if they announced tomorrow that, hey, we're going to make a so-and-so, I would probably be interested in at least checking it out, because they have been pretty reliable recently in some of the stuff that they take. Like, even, like, the some of the more corny kid stuff, like Batman Brave and the Bold, I enjoyed that to a certain level, and it's fun. So, yeah, good stuff. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us for tonight. So for this episode, episode 5 of Cultural Screening, this has been your host, Drewby, with my co-host,
Marcus. See ya.